Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading in verses 7 through 17. So if you would please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. Philippians in chapter 3. We'll be reading responsively. You can join me out loud on the even verses. And I'll read the odd verses by myself. So here we are at verse 7 in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. The Bible says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." As we try to move forward for Christ year by year, day by day, you already know how I feel about New Year's resolutions, okay? I'm not against them per se, but my point to those is if you know you need a resolution in your life, don't wait till a new year. Just go ahead and start it now. And if you've left off on one that you need to have started or have started and quit, start it back up again. All right, don't wait till next year. That's the only thing I have to say about that. But as we work toward being what God wants us to be in our lives, you know, it's a day-by-day thing. It's an hour-by-hour thing. It's a minute-by-minute thing. There should not be a time where we're not striving to press toward the mark. If we fall, we don't stay on the ground. We do what? Get back up. I remember when I was a small child, maybe 4 or 5 years old, I remember going to my grandpa's house. And grandpa lived out in rural North Dakota. There were farms and everything out there. I remember riding horse at a young age. And guess what the number one rule about riding a horse is? Not if you get bucked off, but when you get bucked off, get back on. Okay, so you don't just get off. And listen, we were off our horses all the time. Some of it was because us cousins were always ornery to one another, and we were the reason why some fell off of horses, etc. But thankfully, none of us were killed because of that, and that's a miracle of God for sure. Now, the point is to get back up. As we think about this phrase in Scripture, I press toward the mark. It doesn't mean there's not going to be adversity. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be a time of failing. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be a time where we are drawn away or we perhaps choose another path. But it simply means that there's a continual effort to press toward the mark. If we fall, we get back up. If we get off on a different direction, we get back on the right path. If we backslide, we stop, turn around, and go back forward for Christ. This is something that we all need in our lives. God wants to work with us. He wants to work in us. That's why Paul says in verse 12, he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So Paul is concerned with his life and moving forward for Christ. And now more than ever, in 2023, we as a people of God need to press toward the mark. We need to move forward for the cause of Christ. Do not be satisfied with where you are as a Christian today. You say, I'm doing a good job, Pastor. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. I'm here this morning supporting you. Looking at you with a smile on my face and even saying amen every once in a while. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm encouraging you, telling you what you're supposed to do. We need to move forward. Because you know what? Standing still and not moving forward, not growing, is not what God wants for us. And certainly not going back. We need to be pressing toward the mark. We've talked about the word press and what it means to urge, to enforce, to bear with force, to push with force. We've talked about what Paul said in verse 13, where he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. We've already spoken about those things. You say, Pastor, this is my first Sunday here. Well, that's okay. You can go back and listen to it online and figure out what it is that I'm talking about, okay? Because I'm not going to have time to re-preach all these things today. So today I want you to look at verse 14. And as we think about this idea of press, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, that signifies how we're going to accomplish this ability to press. But now we got to understand, to what are we pressing? What's the goal? Or if you will, as it says here in Scripture, I press toward the mark. So today, very simply, I want to talk to you about the mark. What is the mark that we're pressing towards? What is it that we're trying to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto the things which are behind? What is that thing, that mark that we are pressing toward? Paul says here in verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize. That's a good clause there, right? We can have another English lesson today. How would you like that? You're like, no, I'm out of here. Okay, I won't scare you away. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's like a whole bunch of prepositional phrases. You know, prepositional phrases actually serve a purpose, believe it or not. They really do. They modify stuff. They tell us why. About the what? So we understand that we have to figure out grammatically what God is trying to tell us. He says, I press toward the mark. I looked at that word mark, and I wanted to understand what it was that Paul was pressing toward. You know why? Because I'm a Christian. There's a time in my life where I understood that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior. And I called upon Jesus to forgive me my sins, come into my heart, and become my Savior. You know what that makes me? It makes me a child of the King. It makes me a born-again servant of the Most High God. And you know what? If you have that same testimony, that there's a time in your life where you've trusted Christ as Savior, let me tell you, you have something to press toward. And you ought to find out what it is. How many of you just want to remain the rest of your life ignorant? You know, they say ignorance is bliss. I don't agree with that. You know why I don't agree with that? Because I was part of the United States military. You know what they told us about ignorance? It's no excuse. Come on, you military guys. They gave me when I went to boot camp, they gave me a book Blue Jackets Manual. It's like 500 pages. I still got a copy of it in my office. It's a big, you know what? I'm in boot camp, and you know what they told me? You have to know all this. And if you don't know it, you're still guilty if you do these things wrong. I'm like, huh? That's rough. Ignorance is no excuse. So we ought to know, we ought to want to know what we're pressing toward. What are we pressing towards? Don't be ignorant. Figure it out. So I'm going to help you with that today as we look at these things. Paul says here, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I see two things here. He's pressing toward the mark for the prize. Okay, that's what he's trying to press to earn by pressing toward the mark. Or if you reach the mark, you win the prize, right? You understand that, how that works. And guess what next week's message is about? The prize. You're so quick. Or I'm so predictable. One of the two, I don't know. But here, so we have that. And then he says, what is the prize of? Of what? Of the high calling of God. And where is this high calling of God founded? This is really easy. You guys got the English thing mastered, right? In Christ Jesus. Well, guess what? I'm a child of the King. I am in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ Jesus is the high calling of God, because God says He wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what is it, this life or this thing, this mark, that I can be in Christ Jesus? That's where this mark is found. It's in Christ Jesus. So what is it all about? What am I trying to press toward? Well, here's the thing that I found interesting about this word, mark. All of the definitions that I looked at with the word mark had to do with something that was visible. Amazing. It was something that could be seen. It's something that could be attained. It's something that could be viewed. It was something that was distinct by sign or indication. It was a mark. You know what a lot of people seem to think? That the will of God, or that the purpose of a Christian, is something that's so shrouded in mystery that you can't really know what it is. Baloney. That's not true. God tells us what to look for. He wants it visible. He says, look, here it is. This is visible. This is something you can see. This is something you can attain to. This is something you can accomplish. Why would you want to serve a God who is so mysterious, like, and just says, you know what? Figure it out. Or, I'm not going to tell you. See if you can find out. Well, who wants to serve a God like that? Who wants to follow a God like that? I don't. You know what God says? If you want to find me, I'm here. You want to know what I think? Here it is. You want to know what I say? Here it is. You want to know what the mark is of the prize of the high, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Here you go. It's, folks, it's not something we can't reach. It's not something we can't attain. Because Paul said later in his life that he had what? Finished his course. Jesus, during the course of his life, what did he say on the cross? It is finished. Last I checked, God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Last I checked, God deals with us the same. He is faithful. He is just. He is unmovable. He is unchangeable. Our God has given us a mark to press toward. It's not a secret. He's not playing games with us. And guess what? He wants us to be able to accomplish it. You know that God is not going to put something into our lives or in the course of our path according to His perfect will that we cannot do. How frustrating would that be? Frustrating. How many of you have ever come across something that you just can't do? And you know what? That's okay, right? I always used to tell my kids at school when I was a Christian school principal, saying I don't know is not necessarily a bad thing. Because, you know what? As a teacher and as a principal, I didn't know all the answers. But I could say, I don't know, but I'll find out. That's not giving up. That's not quitting. You understand that God wants us to be successful. He wants us to reach that mark. So what is it? First of all, let's talk about the mark of work. Do you know that there is a work that we are supposed to accomplish? You say, you pastor, you're a called, ordained minister. You're one that has been chosen by God to preach the word and to guide the sheep and to manage the flock and be over this local church. Yeah, me. But how about you? You're a Christian. You know what you are? You're called. You are. There's a work that you're supposed... You say, me? But I've only been saved a few weeks or a few years or I don't have a calling of God in my life to be a pastor or a missionary or this or that. But you have a calling to be a Christian. We have a work to accomplish. As individual believers in Christ, we have a work. Remember what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, there's that word again. The prize of the high calling of God, what? In Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So what's He talking about? We've been raised up, right? We've been put in this position in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. For what? He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10 is the one that really needs to be paid attention to. For we, who's we? Those of us that are saved. Those of us that are born again. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There's that phrase again. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As a child of God, as one who's been bought with a price, I'm supposed to press toward the work of God. I'm supposed to press toward good works in my life. I'm supposed to press toward the things that God has for me because I am created in Christ Jesus unto good works that I should press, that I should accomplish, that I should attain to these things. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. How do you like that? You know what Paul says back in our text? He says that he's bound to these things. That he is apprehended of Christ. Did you remember that from verse 12? He said, that if that I may apprehend for that which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul thought himself in constraint by Christ. Not unwillingly, but willingly. Just like the servant who chooses to put the awl through the ear, signifying that he has chosen to be a servant. A free spirit chosen to serve. Folks, we are bought with a price. We do have the liberty in Christ Jesus. But it's a liberty that's supposed to be meant toward serving God, toward pressing toward the mark, toward accomplishing His work. You understand that there is a work to do. I have often been quoted to say, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it forever, probably. If salvation was the end, then the moment that you trusted Christ, He'd take you on to heaven. There would be no reason for you to stay here. If salvation was the end game, if all that it was about was coming to Christ, confessing your sins, and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, if that was all that there was, there'd be no reason for you to continue living after that, would there? But that's not the end. It's the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of pressing toward the mark of the work of God in our lives. What is that work? It's good works. It's a testimony, right? Why? That they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we ought to let our light so shine before men. You know what? You know what the work is? The work is being a witness. Acts 1:8. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Go ye and preach the gospel unto every creature. Go forth to teaching them all things whatsoever commanded you. We have a work to do. Paul says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. I beseech you, listen to this, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Last time I checked, vocation was a job, was a work, was a career path. You know what? Every Christian has the vocation to work for the Lord. We're to serve Him with gladness. He is our master. We are His servants. You know what the mark of the Christian life is? To press toward working for the Lord. Being what He wants us to be. Growing, maturing, being fruitful. Jesus says that we're supposed to be fruitful. We're supposed to bring forth fruit. And guess what? If a branch does not bring forth fruit, what happens? Yeah. Oh, He'll try to work with you. He'll try to prune you back. He'll try to get you nurtured to where that you can produce fruit effectively. But if that doesn't work and you still refuse to bear fruit, what's the end result? Yeah. Cut off. Because you're not good for anything. Again, folks, there's a purpose. There's a purpose that goes beyond salvation. It's that we're supposed to be fruitful for the Lord. And as Christians, we ought to press toward the mark of the work of God. You know what Jesus said? I've come to work the work of Him that sent me. You understand that there is a vocation. There is something we must do. That's in John chapter 9. He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. In John 17, Jesus spoke of the finishing of that work which thou gavest Him to do. Paul said, I'm going to do this work. And I'm going to get it accomplished. And then at the end of his life, he said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. We have a work to accomplish. When we stand before Christ in eternity, remember what 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There's something to press toward, folks. The mark. You know what? It's visible. God has called us to a life of holiness. God has called us to a life of a testimony for the Lord that people may see Jesus Christ in us and be saved. He's called us to testify. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The Bible says we should be witnesses. It says we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should walk in them. We must press toward the mark of the work that God has called us to. Second thing I see is not only the mark of work, but the mark of worthiness. The mark of worthiness. Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You say, Pastor, how can you say that worthiness is a mark that we should press toward when there is no merit required in salvation? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking to people who are already saved, pressing toward the mark. You see, a lot of times people try to confuse the act of being saved with the life to live as someone who's saved. You see, they're separate, although related. You can't work the work, and you can't be counted worthy if you're not saved first. Salvation comes first. It's a standalone event in your life. It stands alone. It is of no merit of your own. But what do we do after that point? The Bible says there'll be a loss of reward if we waste those opportunities. And we'll be saved, yet so as by fire. You understand that? So now, how can I live a life of worthiness to my Lord? What are you trying to say? Well, this is what I'm trying to say. And we'll get to the scripture in just a moment. Here's the thing. Because I am saved, I should live like I'm saved. Because he did pay it all for me, I should give it all to him. Because I am in Christ Jesus, I should be conformed to his image. I should take on his mind. I should be like him. Because he alone is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise and worship. And if he's done all that for me, I should live a life worthy of his sacrifice. And that is something visible, that is something tangible, that is something I can see, and that is something I can press toward day by day. And I should. Are you there? Look at chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and our travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. Listen to this. Why did they put all of that effort in? Why did they go to the extents and to the lengths that they did to live a just life, to live a holy life, to live a life pleasing to the Lord, to live a life worthy of the Savior? Here's the key. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom in glory. You know, one of the reasons we need to press toward the mark of worthiness is so that the generations to come will see that it's important to walk worthy unto God. If I don't live a life worthy of the Lord, why would they live a life worthy of the Lord? Paul was an example. He and his company took the care to live a holy life, to live a just life, to be unblameable, to behave themselves, so that the people following them would walk worthy of God who had called them unto his kingdom and glory. Can I tell you something, folks? It is worth living a worthy life. And listen, not because someone's making me do it, not because I have to do it, or I'll lose my salvation. That doesn't exist. It's because he saved me, because he loved me, because he gave it all so that I could give him all that I have. Amen. That's pressing toward the mark of worthiness in Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, it says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Folks, it's living a worthy life. Not what you think is worthy. Not what the world thinks is worthy. But what God says is worthy. In Luke 21, remember this thing? I read this the other night, and I know that many of you were wondering what this word was, so I looked it up for you, but I'll mention it in a second. Remember when he was talking to the disciples? They're there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's taken John and Peter and James further on than the other disciples, and he's asked them to watch and pray with him, right, in this time of difficulty. He says in verse 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Now, how many of you want to know what surfeiting was? And I'm probably not even pronouncing it right. It's an English word, so I can pronounce it however I want to, and I'm right. Amen. It's gluttony is what it is. Okay, that's what it means. Okay? So, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting or gluttony, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So here's what he says. He tells them, watch ye therefore and pray always. And then he says, comma, that. Now, you ought to pay attention. Right? We have demonstrative pronoun here. This is important. I know you hate English as much as I do. At least I hope you do. But it's a demonstrative pronoun. Okay? That, he says, I lost my spot. It's there. There it is. That ye may be accounted worthy. Folks, listen, if we get consumed with this world, if we take in the world and all the things that the world has desired, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, we're going to become unaware and we're going to become unworthy to God. You say, Pastor, why are you enforcing all these requirements on us? I'm not doing any of the sort. I'm just letting you know that there's a mark to press toward. And that mark is the work of God. That mark is the worthiness to God. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul says, let as many as be servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. There's a reason to live a worthy life, folks. And it's not for your benefit, and it's not for my benefit. It's for the benefit of God Almighty. It's for the benefit of the kingdom of God. And so that people will see Jesus Christ in your life, and they'll come to him for salvation. We need to press toward the mark of worthiness. The last one I want to mention today, and you're doing a fantastic job of listening. We may only be about 15 minutes past the time of service ending today. I'm just kidding. Is the mark of willingness. You know what the number one hindrance of the Christian is? The Christian.
It is. It is.
You and I are our own hindrance. We get in our own way. Selfishness. Desires. Pleasing self. That old flesh gets in the way of us pressing toward the mark. More often than anything else in our lives, we're our own worst enemy. Anybody agree with that? A few of you. Wonderful. The rest of you will come to understand that really soon. We're our own worst enemy. Remember what Paul says? He says, hey, I'm just paraphrasing now because you can go back because it's really a complex passage of scripture in Romans chapter 7. I would that I could that I would not, did that I would not, would that I find this law that when I would do right, evil is present with me, all that stuff, all that he goes on about. He says, hey, oh wretched man that I am. And that's the truth of it, folks. So you know what mark God wants us to press toward? Being willing to deny ourselves and serve him. But we have to be willing. God doesn't make us do anything. He's created us with a free will. We get to choose. We get to choose. And that's the mark that God wants us to press forward and to press toward, is choosing God and choosing God and being willing to serve and being willing to sacrifice and being willing to be what we're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. You remember that verse in Ephesians I told you? It says that we should walk in them. But what do we have to do? Be willing to walk in it. We must choose to walk. Oh, we've been created in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This has taken place. We have a new life in Christ, but will we walk in it? Will we choose? Will we grow? Will we serve? Will we witness? Will we tell? Will we work? It's the mark of willingness. Are we going to be willing? Are we going to put away these things? In Isaiah chapter 1, the Bible says, wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. God says, do these things. Are we okay with that? Those are all commands. He's telling them, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. And then he says this, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. For though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And then he says this, if ye be, oh, you're so good. You are such a fantastic crowd. If ye be willing. Folks, we've got to press toward the mark of willingness. We need to be willing to say no to the flesh and yes to God. We need to be willing to mortify the deeds of the flesh and say yes to walking in the Spirit. We've got to say no to us and yes to Him. You know, the Bible commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. You know how we're filled with the Spirit? By saying no to us and yes to the Spirit. We have a vessel. This vessel can only hold so much. And most of it is full of us. And if we'll empty this vessel of us and allow the Holy Spirit of God to take up that space, that's the only way we can be filled with the Spirit. But we must be willing to do it. In 1 Chronicles, David tells his son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. We're told to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, right? We're told to, with the renewing of our mind, we've got to be willing in mind. We need to be willing in body. We need to be willing in spirit. We need to be willing to do what God says. The Lord searcheth all the hearts, and the Lord understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Jesus said, salvation is a whosoever will may come. You know that in order to be saved, you have to be willing to come to Christ. You have to be willing to come on his terms. So if we're willing to do that, then why won't we be willing to press toward the mark in our lives for Christ? We need to be willing to live honestly. We need to be willing to be sober, vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But we have to be willing. We need to be willing to live a holy life, to follow the calling of God, to consider the things that God has said as life to us, and not just a suggestion. You know, I often tease young drivers. I tell them that all the stop signs that have a white border around them are optional. They all have white borders around them, folks. You know, all the things that God says, they're not optional. But we need to be willing to obey. We need to be willing to follow. We need to be willing to serve. We need to be willing to work. We must reach the mark of willingness. As Christ was praying, he said, Father, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Are we going to choose to be willing to serve God this year? Are we going to press toward the mark? Hey, listen, you may not do it all the time. You may not accomplish that task. But the Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times and rises up again. Or you may backslide, but turn back to the Jesus. Turn back to the Father. Turn back to the Lord. You may go a different path, but cease. Confess it. Forsake it. Turn back to the Lord. What? Press toward the mark. Be willing to serve him. God wants us to be willing. He's not going to make us do it. He wants us to do it. Wash your hands. Make yourself clean. Put away your evil doings. But be willing and obedient to the Lord. I hope that you understand that these things, good works and the work that God has called us to, that is bearing fruit, preaching the gospel, are a mark to reach toward. A mark to press toward. Living a worthy life is a mark that you can see. It's something that you can reach. It's something that you can attain to. And then the mark of willingness. Being willing. You know what I love about studying the book of Acts in our Sunday school lessons, back in chapter 9. You know what Paul said as he's laying there on the ground, blinded, looking around, trying to figure out what this voice is and who's talking to him? He just simply says this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That ought to be our attitude. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a mark that we can see. It's a mark that we can attain to.